Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Amen. Bless you all. It's so great to be here in God's house. Amen. What a way to celebrate the resurrection. Amen. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Praise the Lord. This is our concluding sermon in this series. We've been looking to this. We've been anticipating this. We began on Ash Wednesday and wanted to focus on the glory of the cross, the glory of the resurrection. And we're here. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28, Matthew's gospel. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. It'll be on the screen, and we're going to stay really focused on verses 5 and 6 during the message. So hear the word of God from Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, not just for the word of Scripture, Lord, but we do thank you for the testimony of the Word of God. But Lord, we thank you for the promise and of life eternal, for the resurrection of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the promises and challenges and words of the resurrection passage in Matthew's gospel would speak to us. Make your Holy Spirit stir within us, O God. Might we give you complete right away and freedom in this service and in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name, amen and amen. All right, the memory verse is going to be, as I said, verses 5 and 6, so it's going to be on the screen. Please recite it with me. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying." Matthew 28, 5 and 6. You know, in the Bible, there are 10 references to resurrections. It's kind of interesting. There's three in the Old Testament, and those are associated with Elijah the prophet, Elisha the prophet, and Elisha's bones. The song that they just sang talked about Elisha's bones, his tomb. And, of course, those were resurrections. And then in the New Testament, there are actually three accounts where Jesus raised someone from the dead. The widow at Nain's son was in a funeral procession. He stopped the procession, raised him from the dead. And then Jairus' daughter, she had just died when Jesus was on the way, and he raised her back to life. And then, of course, Lazarus. Lazarus is probably the most spectacular because he had been dead for 4 days, you know, and so this was really a big deal. Now, and then, of course, around the cross and Easter, of course, on Easter, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But then if you go to Matthew 27, back up a chapter, you'll find that when Jesus died on the cross, it says there was an earthquake and tombs were opened. And then it says after the resurrection of Jesus, some of the saints came back to life and entered the city and were seen by others. So I'm just counting all those saints as one other one, okay? And then, of course, then in the book of Acts, we have two, Peter, who raised Dorcas or Tabitha back to life, and then Paul raised Eutychus. It's a young man that fell asleep during the service and fell out the window. So fortunately, we don't have any windows here. We're on the first floor, so it's okay. If you go to sleep, no one's going to, you shouldn't, unless you fall out and hit your head. So we'll be careful on that. But no, that they raised, that's the 10. Now, it's interesting. If you read those, out of the 10, 9 of them are really resuscitations, right? I mean, 9 of them, they really came back to life, to this life, only to have to die again, right? I mean, Jesus is the only one that was a true resurrection. Jesus, the glory of the resurrection is 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times greater than the other resurrection, because Jesus came through the grave and came out the other side of the grave. He didn't come back to life. He came through to eternal life in an immortal body, the first to do that. Colossians 1:18 says that he is the first born again from the dead. Hallelujah. That's the first, so that in everything he would have preeminence, that he was first place. He's the head of the church. He is the first place in everything. And he was the first to be born again from the dead, to come out from the other side of the grave. And so we, that's what we're celebrating today. And as we celebrate, it's kind of interesting. Every Easter we preach these passages, right? You hear these over and over. And I want to give great props to the trunk hop yesterday. I got to go around and listen to each of the stories, and every trunk, or I guess hatchback, whatever, had a little piece of the story to tell. It just was awesome. You got to hear the whole Easter passage, Easter story, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and everyone did such a super job. And so I just want to celebrate proclaiming the gospel in a very unique and creative way, and thank you all for being a part of that. But as you go over and over that, what new insight do you get? And I didn't go back and check, and honestly, you have to do that. If you start teaching Sunday school or leading Bible studies in your home or even preaching, it's amazing how you can be inspired the exact same way years later and think it's brand new. I've done it. If you go to write an article, like, wait, I better check. Yeah, I've already said this exact thing 3 times. But I thought it was new. I thought it was new inspiration today. And so I might have repeated this. I might have said this before. You might have heard these ideas already. But it was new for me this year. And so the 3 points I want to really make is that, and I'm not making the passage, makes them, is that in light of the glory of the resurrection, the women are given 3 commands, 3 invitations. And the first one was, don't be afraid. Look at verses 5 and 6. The angel says, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Now, just think about that. Now, this is frightening. Number one, your Savior, who you followed for 3 years, who you were certain was the Messiah, has been killed, arrested and killed, murdered. Okay? And now, early in the morning, the disciples are all hiding, all right? So all the men of your group are hiding behind locked doors. And then we have 2 women or more, there's actually a couple more, are going to the graveyard in the wee hours of the morning to anoint the body of Jesus properly. Now, I don't know about you, I was never a big fan of cemeteries. Now, it doesn't bother me now, but honestly, when I was growing up, I was petrified of cemeteries. And I really think it wasn't just all the chiller theater movies I was watching. I must be in an age group that this is Pittsburgh area, right? How many of you here watch chiller theater? Go ahead, raise your hand. All the old folks. Okay, I got it. That was a Saturday night. It was all the craziest. The ones that scared me the worst were the vampire movies. I don't know why. It kind of scared me. But anyway, I think it had more to do with my own spiritual condition, I didn't like cemeteries because I didn't like to think about dying, because I didn't like to think about where I would end up. But it was fearful. Now put your place of these women. Now they're coming in at night, in early morning hours, to a graveyard. Their Savior has just been killed. All the men are hiding for fear, and they're going to have to face the Roman soldiers. This is like the Green Beret, of the world. I mean, the Romans were like the toughest. And so the women are coming with all the courage they can muster, and it's fearful. And of course, how fearful was it? It says it was so much, there was an earthquake, an angel came down from heaven, his garments, he glowed like crazy, and it scared the Roman soldiers to the point that they passed out. That's how scary it was. So the first words from an angel was what? Be not afraid. Isn't that the words of comfort for those who are believers? To Mary, the angel said, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. To the shepherds, don't be afraid. I mean, you know, those are good words. Anytime we face a supernatural experience, especially the holy angels, there's usually a time of fear. Their face was shining. The angel was glowing. And it reminds me of the time that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember? It said he was still in his human body, but he glowed. He kind of glowed like Moses, probably, or Moses was glowing like him. But he was talking to Moses and Elijah. And it says that in the scriptures that the disciples, when they heard the Lord speaking, they fell to their face and they were terrified. So this is terrifying. It's a terrifying experience. Now, I want to say the word is don't be afraid. But you also know if you fear God, the little saying says if you fear God, you'll fear nothing else. But if you don't fear God, you'll fear everything else. There is a certain fear and awe and respect we need to have for God. Amen? I mean, if you're living a life out of fellowship with God, if you're living a life of sin, if you know what you're doing is wrong, then you should fear God. All right? I mean, absolutely. Jesus said, the Lord told Irwin McManus, I've told this before, but it's just so hilarious. When he was called to go into ministry, he was going to Houston, Texas. And he was traveling with a little yellow bug. It wasn't a bug. It was a little yellow car. I forget what it was. But it was a little silly yellow car. And he was traveling in the innermost slums of Houston. And he was realizing, this is like crazy. What am I doing here? And he started praying like, Lord, oh Lord, give me a verse. And you know what the Lord said? Don't fear him who can kill the body. It's like, no, I'll take another verse. You know, I don't want that one. You know, but that's true. We shouldn't fear someone who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill the body, but who can throw you into hell. If you're not right with God, you should fear God. Absolutely. But the word here is to believers, to the ladies that were coming, the angel says, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. If you're looking for Jesus, if you're desiring to follow him, the word of the angel is to you, don't be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said he would. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid. That is a great word for us. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says that we can come boldly into the throne room of God. That means that not only can we not be afraid, but we can boldly come approach God. And I don't know if you know, the scripture says that phrase is kind of wrapped up in a little bit of the cross story. When Jesus died on the cross, it says the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. Now, some, we don't understand a little bit about that veil. There was this real thick, triple, quadruple curtain that stood in the temple between the holy place of the temple and the most holy place. Now, the priests could come in the holy place and minister. That was fine. But only once a year did they get to go in behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the cherubim were over the mercy seat. And that's where they believed that God dwelt. You couldn't go in there. And even when the priest would go in there once a year, he had little bells on the bottom of his skirt. And they tied a rope around his leg. Because if the bells quit moving, you had to get him back out because he died. Because he was unfaithful in the presence of God. And so they couldn't go in and get him because they would die. You know, that's where Raiders of the Lost Ark, that whole thing about the ark. And if you look into it, you die. Because it was holy. You didn't mess with it. Even when they hauled that around, the Levites had long poles with rings on that they stuck in. They didn't get near the ark. They just held onto the poles. So that veil that separated people from the most holy place in the temple where God dwelt was torn from top to bottom. I think there's significance that it was top to bottom, right? Who did the tearing? It wasn't from the bottom up that we could sneak under. It was God tore it from top to bottom. Now we can come boldly into the presence of God. Jesus has made a way that we can come, even we who are broken, lost sinners. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can come boldly into the throne of God. Hallelujah. That's something to think about. But and so the angel saying, be not afraid. He is risen. He is risen. I think so much about Isaiah when he has in the temple, when Isaiah 6 said in the day King Uzziah died, he was in the temple worshiping, and he had this vision of God in the temple. And it said that it shows the glory of God, and it said the train of the Lord, kind of like the smoke in the presence of God, just filled the temple. And it said when he spoke, the doorpost shook. And then Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. And it says a seraph, would be an angelic being, went and grabbed a coal from the altar and touched his lips and said, your sins, your iniquities have been taken away. Your sins have been pardoned. My friends, that's what has happened to us. The cross, the resurrection proves that the cross was accepted by God, the sacrifice of Jesus. The resurrection proves that the cross is effective in our lives. Our iniquity has been taken away. Our sins have been forgiven. The word to you this Easter is, be not afraid. It's kind of interesting. That's how it starts by the angel. But then when Jesus greets them, what does he say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Second word that is given there is to come see. Look at verse 5 and 6. We're going to read another part of that. The angel said to the woman, don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Come see. Come see with your eyes. Come and believe that he is risen from the dead. It's interesting as they said that they went running from there with joy. They left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. Come and see and believe. Tells us in John's gospel that they went and told Peter and the disciples, and Peter and John ran to the tomb. Now John, we believe, was younger, and I always picture Peter as a bigger, you know, not so fleet of foot guy. Anyway, John gets there first and is waiting for Peter. He doesn't go in, he just looks in. And then Peter gets there and bolts right into the temple, into the tomb. I'll get that right. And he says he saw the linen wrappings lying there and where Jesus was, and then the napkin was folded up. And it's almost, at least the vision that we have, when it says the linen wrappings were lying there, it's almost like the rapture. You know, the jokes about the rapture, how Josh, you did that, I heard, one time in Bible college, that you prayed a rapture prank on somebody. So how you do a rapture prank, if you want to work on it, now it's going to ruin it for the rest of you. But you find a friend, that, and they're out of the room, and you take your clothes and lay them out on the chair, and you play your shoes down, you lay everything there, and then you all go hide. And then when they come back and see, like, you just disappeared out of the clothes, then they start freaking out, like, oh, no, the rapture happened, and I'm not included, you know. And so, you know, well, anyway. Occasionally I can't find my wife, and I get a little worried, like, but it always works out. I'm still here, and you're all still here. But anyway, that's kind of the image. It was almost as if Jesus' body just disappeared out of the wrappings. But the napkin, which was around his head, he actually took off and folded up and laid it in the tomb. But Peter goes rushing in, and it says, this is amazing, it says, the other disciple came first to the tomb, that's John, and then also entered, Peter, and he saw and believed. The message from the angels is come and see. And I think it's assumed that you will come and see and believe that Jesus is alive. It says, Peter came and saw and believed. And then verse 9 says, that's John 20, verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now, I want you to grab onto that for just a moment. He saw and believed, but yet he still didn't understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Okay? A lot of us are sometimes in that spot. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe he died for our sins. We believe that he rose from the dead, but yet we still don't understand it all. And maybe we're not quite ready to put our faith in Christ. Like, yeah, I kind of believe this, but there's just so much I don't know. What's going to happen to me? What are other people going to expect of me? You know, I'm just not sure. Don't be afraid. Come and see. If we think we're going to enter the kingdom of God by having all of our questions answered, our head questions answered, that's probably not going to happen. But my friends, Jesus will first answer every one of your heart questions. Heart questions. And then as you see and believe, you will understand. I don't have it all figured out. Sometimes I still joke with myself, like when I grow up, it'd be interesting to see how God is going to use me. When I grow up, it's going to be, what am I going to be? What's God going to do? There's still a lot of uncertainty, but there is one thing certain, that God has me and God has you. Jesus Christ is alive, he is real, and he wants to be the Lord of your life. And he will never, never let you down. The disciples came and saw and believed, although they didn't yet understand it all. Remember Thomas? Jesus met with the disciples on Easter evening, Thomas wasn't there. And they were all excited. Jesus was there. And then Thomas said later, well, if I don't see with my own hands, I'm not going to believe. Well, Jesus, a week later, shows up and Thomas is there. And Jesus says, come and see. See my hand. See my side. Put your fingers in the holes. Your hand in my side. See and believe. And what was Thomas's response? My Lord and my God. So some of you, I think, are at that moment. You know it all in your head. You're kind of trying to figure it out. But the Lord is just waiting for you to say, my Lord and my God. Saying, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe. I will trust you. One of the neat things about the glory of the resurrection is that not only do we get to see and believe, but we will also experience that. We experience in one degree of glory to another, even in this life through the Holy Spirit. But it tells us in 1 John 3:2, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him when we see him. So when Jesus returns in the second coming, when we see him, we will be changed. We will be given those immortal bodies. The glory of the resurrection won't be something that just happened to Jesus. It will be something that happens to us. And we can celebrate that today. Come see. Come see and believe. And then the next word that was given, Matthew 28:7, go quickly and tell the disciples. Go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. I like that. Number one, the disciples are hiding and they needed to hear good news. But in Mark's gospel, it adds, go tell the disciples and Peter. I shared this on Thursday night at the communion service. I really like the phrase, go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter had denied the Lord 3 times, but the Lord hadn't forsaken him. The Lord knew that he was going to turn back and that he would repent and that he would still be the rock upon which he would build the church. Go tell the disciples and Peter. I'm a lot like Peter. I don't always get it right, you know? Sometimes I mess up, and I need to know that the Lord still cares for me. You know, he will never leave you or forsake you. He is going to be with you till the ends of the age. Some of you are Peter today. You need to hear that word. Go tell the disciples and Randy. Go tell the disciples and whatever your name is, that he is risen. And then he goes ahead of you to Jerusalem. I like the phrase that says, go quickly and tell. What's the quickly about? Well, number one, the quickly is because it's exciting news. Amen? They needed to hear it. It's good news. You know, the problem in America, the problem in our culture, is bad news travels quickly. Right? This is good news. It needs to travel quickly. You need to tell people. Another thing I think about the quickly is there's an urgency. Look at our world. Do you think there's an urgency? People are dying. People are lost. There is immorality. There is war and bloodshed. There is despair. And we have good news. The world needs to hear the good news. Jesus is risen. Their sins can be forgiven. They can be made sons and daughters of God. That's the promise of the gospel. And there's also an urgency because sin abounds. And sin has an addicting, attracting, grasping way about it. You know, you give the devil a foothold in your life, the devil's going to latch on. And we need to share the gospel to set people free before it gets worse. And I think the frailty of life. You know, it's amazing how suddenly, some of you have suddenly lost loved ones this year. Maybe to COVID, maybe to accidents, maybe to crazy illnesses. I have two friends, close friends, that are younger than me, that were diagnosed and 6 months later they're gone. I mean, you're one diagnosis away, right? I mean, you're one accident away. You're one moment away from eternity. So the good news is urgent. We need to share the gospel. I remember a few years ago, Mike Dunlop, I didn't get his permission to say this, but I know he was coaching and doing youth ministry in the North Star area, North Skull School District, and one of the football players died suddenly. I don't know whether I think it might have been an illness or freak medical condition. And I remember Mike said, no more. No more playing around with kids. No more just hanging out. No more just lifting weights. I'm going to make sure I share the gospel with every youth that I'm around, because you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. There is an urgency to the gospel. Jesus, angel told them, go and tell the disciples. And then Jesus, when he greeted them, said, don't be afraid. They were already seeing, right? Then he says, go and tell the disciples. You know, that's what we need to be doing. The world isn't looking for what God is doing. The world is looking for everything else. We who are believers need to be looking and seeing and telling the story. You know, I'm kind of focusing a little bit, studying on the Wesleyan class meetings. And in the old Wesley class meetings, they would gather a group of, 10 or 12 people together each week. And they didn't have a Bible study. They actually had an accountability time. And after maybe a worship song and a prayer, they would go around one by one and say, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? And you'd have to describe, well, how am I doing? How am I spiritually doing this week? Well, in modern day adaptations and applications of that, they've kind of changed the language. And now the question they're asking is, where have you seen God at work in your life this week? And the challenge with that is, you know that on your class meeting, they're going to ask you that question. So what do you have to do all week? You got to keep like looking around, okay, where's God at work in my life? And you're always like looking around like, okay, where's God? What's happening? You know? And I think that's pretty cool, because you know what happens when you start looking around to see what God is doing? You start seeing everything that God is doing, you know? And suddenly the Lord is alive and powerful and working in your life. And then you get to tell that. Come and see, go and tell. You get to tell where God is at work in your life. And then you also, in the process of that, you might be sharing where the challenge is. We need to be the ones looking, Christians, coming and seeing, and then we need to be going and telling. The world needs to hear. Well, I want to close by just talking real briefly about the glory of the resurrection. Jesus described the glory of Easter, the glory of the resurrection, to Martha when she was grieving over the death of her brother Lazarus. John chapter 11, Martha greets Jesus and says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And she was focused on the past. If you had been here, he would not have died. That's past tense. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And then Martha hears that and she jumps to the future. And she says, yes, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus brings her right back to the present moment and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus comes back to the present moment saying, I am here, I am the resurrection. My friends, I think he speaks that to us today. We are celebrating that he is risen from the dead, he is alive today, he is here. He is the resurrection and the life. Now, there is a past. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the past, in history, Jesus did rise from the dead. It's probably the most documented fact in the history of the world. In secular history, it is recorded. In the effect that the resurrection of Christ has had upon nations and people and science and the whole world is immeasurable. But then also recorded in the Word of God and confirmed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus has risen from the dead. That's a past deal. That is a fact. We're not making that up. This isn't like mythical dead prophets we're celebrating. This is a risen Savior. But then there is a future. Jesus is coming. That's one of the most cherished promises and proclaimed promises of the Scripture. Jesus is coming again, and he will judge the living and the dead. And he's going to translate us with immortal bodies when he comes. But right now in the present, he is here. By his Holy Spirit, he is here. He is convicting. He is convincing. He is encouraging. He called Lazarus forth from the grave. In the present moment, Lazarus came forth. He calls us forth from our graves of sin and addictions and struggles and pain. He calls us out of the drudgery of the rut of our life. You know what a rut is, right? A rut's a grave with the two ends knocked out, right? And some of you are stuck in that rut, and the Lord is calling you forth, come out of that grave. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face behold in the mirror the glory of God. I guess it's up there, the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We are being transformed into that glory of the resurrection as you invite Jesus Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you from all that you struggle with. And as you walk with him, he is working that glory of the resurrection in us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And may those who trust Jesus Christ experience that we might be raised with Christ in heavenly places. And we might go from this place and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.